Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are we doing, sir?
Well, we'd be doing a lot better if Ohio State wasn't the national champion, but wouldn't be doing any better if it was Notre Dame. So about as well as could be expected, I suppose.
You beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you, would it have been any better if Notre Dame were the national champions?
No, it would not.
Well, let me give you, at least from my perspective, the good news with Ohio State winning it. The point spread for the game was 8.5 points.
Yep.
Ohio State had an 8-point lead to very late. It would have been crushing to me to both have Ohio State as national champions and to lose my bet on them. However,
understood.
However, since they decided to go for that late field goal, do you know what it's like, Jeff? Even to at the point where it was a 24-point lead, and I know it's an 8-point spread or 8.5 point, I'm thinking, watch this. Watch Notre Dame score 2 touchdowns, convert 2 2-point conversions, and lose it by 8 points only.
Thank you, Jeremiah Smith.
yes, indeed. And I'll tell you what, I really like that kicker for Notre Dame, kadonking the one off the upright.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, sometimes all right. It all just comes together.
Yes, it does. All right, let's move on, because although I'm sure it's just riveting programming for our listeners to hear about Jim's betting travails. But let's move on. As you mentioned, Ohio State national champions. Did, Jeff, Ohio State kind of set the model for how to win a national championship, having such a veteran team, bringing so many of those guys back who were potential NFL players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to vary. There's going to be exceptions to the general rule. But yes, do I think having a veteran team that has NFL caliber talent that could be in the NFL, but because of the NIL, it's appealing to go ahead and stick around another year in college? Yes, and I also think, you know, supplementing with the right pieces from the transfer portal is an important part of the equation here as well. So, I'm going to say generally yes, but there's going to be exceptions, just as there is in any sport. I mean, you'll have a younger team somewhere along the way with more freshmen and sophomores. It's just an exceptionally talented team where everything comes together. But I think generally speaking, yes, the veteran team, especially in this, NIL era and transfer portal era, however all of that shakes out, whatever the numbers end up being and whatever, parameters are put on the transfer portal, I do think your teams that are going after titles year in and year out, that is going to be the equation. Getting guys that have been around college football for 3, 4, 5 years, and around your program, ideally at least a core for a good 3 or 4, is going to generally be a good recipe to at least make a run at a national championship.
I think the other, and I'm just trying to look for some trends that are going on, is the veteran quarterback also. Whether he's been on your roster for several years or you bring him in for outside, we seem to be having so many examples of that. Riley Leonard to Notre Dame, Will Howard into Ohio State, the year before Michigan with J.J. McCarthy around so long, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Washington and Oregon. There seems to be also more value specifically at that quarterback position for that veteran who's been around.
Yeah, and I think there is something to be said for somebody who has gone through some of the trials and tribulations at that spot in particular and has kind of a better handle on exactly what is expected. Now, again, do I think we'll never see a freshman quarterback go in and be part of a national title team? No, but do I think that's going to be the exception much more than the rule? I do, because I think, again, having that experience at that position in particular is valuable. And again, we've talked about it, Jim, that there's just so many things that need to come together in order for a national championship run. And there is some luck that that factors into it, but it's getting the right coach with the right quarterback, the right coordinators, getting that locker room to where, you know, it can coalesce the way both Notre Dame and Ohio State's did this season. You know, Notre Dame, after an early season loss to Northern Illinois, it would be easy to see a locker room fall apart in an instance like that. And certainly Ohio State, after the loss to Michigan, you could understand that. And I think to the credit of both head coaches and coaching staffs, they did a great job, along with the veteran leadership, no question, in both locker rooms, of using those losses to really make sure that, that didn't happen again. And you saw, obviously, just a terrific playoff run by Ohio State. And really, Notre Dame, from the first game after that Northern Illinois loss on, I mean, that just looked like a completely different football team and a legitimate title contender all along.
It was something else I thought fascinating with the 12-team playoff. Remember when this playoff started, we got the Southeast Conference talking about you got to measure teams on their wins. You know, of course they say that because it's to their advantage, that being able to have top 10 wins or top 15, top 20 game wins. As much as I hate to ever give Ohio State credit for anything, if you look at this run, they had two top 10 wins in the regular season against Penn State and Indiana, but they had four top 10 wins going through the playoffs. First of all, that's quite the gauntlet, but I think at the end of the day, you have four top 10 wins in a row. You've kind of earned that the national championship.
Yeah, no, there's no question. And I think with the 12-team format, no matter who emerges, and I think eventually we're going to have a 14 and you know, maybe right to a 16, but I think at some point fairly soon we'll have the 16-team format. But 12, 14, 16-team format, no matter who wins it, they will have earned it. Like, you don't get through the playoffs like that without earning the national title. And that's, you know, to me, that's why I love the playoffs, is I think you definitively have to earn it, both through a good regular season resume, but then again, it's going to be a gauntlet for anybody. I don't care if you have SMU and Boise State, or if you have Tennessee and Oregon that you're getting through, you're earning your way to a national title when you have a college playoff format that, you know, includes 12 or more teams.
And obviously Ohio State as the national champion, you had four teams from the Big Ten make it to the playoffs. You had multiple Big Ten teams, both Penn State and Ohio State, in the final four. I don't think there's any doubt that this past season, the Big Ten was the best conference in the country. They were better than the Southeast Conference. Where I'm headed for it with this, though, Jeff, is are we seeing a bit of a changing of the guard, that the SEC is not going to be the predominant conference, or is this just a one-season hiccup?
I mean, I think we'll see how it plays out. My guess is, Jim, that the Big Ten and the SEC are going to be pretty much equal footing from here on out. I think in terms of top end, you know, programs that you feel like are legitimate national title contenders, I think most years, both conferences are going to have at least two and up to four teams that you feel fit that bill. You know, I think that with Texas coming into the SEC, I mean, along with Oklahoma, but I mean, I think Texas right now gives the SEC kind of that another team to go with Alabama and Georgia. And again, you're going to have other programs in and out there, LSU, Florida, you know, Tennessee, whatever it may be, Ole Miss. And I think kind of the same thing now in the Big Ten, where Ohio State and Oregon clearly are not going anywhere. And I think Michigan and Penn State are both positioned now for long-term, at least, you know, foreseeable future, as much long-term as you can have in college football. But, I mean, I think over the next 3 to 5 years, it feels like Michigan and Penn State are going to be right there. And, again, you could have an Iowa or a Wisconsin or a Washington, you know, in and out of the mix there. So my guess is those two conferences are going to be pretty comparable. You know, maybe one has a little better year here, like the Big Ten did this year, over the SEC. I don't think you're going to see like the Big Ten start to dominate and the SEC just drop off. But I think the Big Ten is going to more than hold its own here, again, for at least this next, let's say, 5-year window.
I find it interesting, and you're talking about the Big Ten teams, the obvious top, you know, the Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan will be there, maybe a Wisconsin. You never mentioned USC.
Yeah, you know, USC is actually one of the more USC and Ole Miss are probably the two teams, the two programs I'm most intrigued to see kind of what happens here over the next, let's say, 2 years, because it feels like they're both kind of teetering now a little bit to me, Jim, where Lane Kiffin, again, he's right on the brink, but not breaking through in a conference that's really tough to break through on. And I kind of feel the same way, Lincoln Riley. I know there's some good things happening. They feel, you know, signing Danton Lynn on to long term. I think they feel better about the defensive side and what they have going there. But again, you have in the SEC, it's going to be tough for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss to break through and become one of those top three programs, even in any singular season. And I feel that way now about USC. I know there's obviously great tradition, great, you know, monetary backing of the program and all of that. But again, you have Oregon sitting there with more money than anybody else at its disposal in the Big Ten. The Ohio State program has already invested more money than anybody. And I think it's going to be hard with what Penn State and Michigan have established now as well. Again, I think USC will be knocking on the door there, but can they get through and in any particular season be one of those top three programs? I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see. All right, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy cafe tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about the state of college football. And Jeff, it's kind of interesting the direction we took it at the end of the first quarter. You were mentioning the teams within the Big Ten Southeast Conference that'll make both those conferences competitive for being the top dog. And I found it fascinating that in your list of Big Ten teams, you did not mention USC, which got us into a little bit of that conversation. But it makes me ask the question, USC, it seems like they had absolutely everything in place, okay? It's USC. It's a name brand. It's a blue blood. They are in Southern California, a recruiting mecca. You know, there's so much talent there. And you got a big name coach in Lincoln Riley, a guy who has all these big time offenses at Oklahoma. Seemed like a no-brainer, perfect match for USC. And you compare USC to Ole Miss, that team that, well, would they be able to get over that hump to get to that next level? Taking a long time to ask this question, Jeff, which is, if you're in charge of those kind of teams, and there's a lot of them out there, it's not just USC, but it's probably Washington again. You mentioned Ole Miss. I could throw Florida into that mix. I could throw Missouri into that mix. How do those teams go from, you know, pretty good, but seem to have the pieces in place to actually get there, to get to one of those elite teams?
I think it's really hard, Jim. And I mean, it starts with, you have to have buy-in from the administration. You have to have, again, the right coach who's making the right moves with his staff and on the recruiting front. And now with the transfer portal, again, it can certainly be done, but it really is, I think, a very challenging world. And I'll throw a couple of other programs. You know, Texas A&M, Jim, you talk about a program that has everything set up for success. And, you know, in particular when they had Jimbo Fisher, but even now, I mean, but they had the big name coach with the proven track record and all of that. And it didn't quite work out. And we've talked about this. I don't know that you can sometimes put your finger on, hey, why isn't this working? I probably too often go back to Scott Frost in Nebraska, but I still am scratching my head over why in the world that didn't work. Scott Frost is a terrific football coach. Nebraska has a terrific tradition. I think they're all in all of that. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So, sometimes you kind of capture lightning in a bottle. Sometimes you don't. You know, I'm looking at Florida State, and, you know, a year ago, we're talking about, man, that's maybe one of the elite programs now in the nation, kind of got hosed. Certainly if they had a 12-team format, we would have at least found out. Now they probably, because of the quarterback situation, you know, I don't think it would have gone well, but whatever, they at least would have had the opportunity. But now, I mean, how much confidence do you have that Florida State's going to be back in the mix, even in the ACC anytime soon? Again, could it happen? Sure. But I'm not overly confident about that. And from what I'm reading, I don't think many Florida State fans are overly confident about that right now. So I just think once you slip a little bit, and I'll tell you another one that I think is going to be interesting to watch over these next couple of years, and I think they have a really good head coach, but Alabama, Jim, when you slip a little bit like they did this year, and again, they didn't fall off the map. It's still a really good program, but a couple of losses that kind of are eating at the Alabama fans, and I'm sure are eating at the players and the coaches in that program. But when you slip a little bit, again, doesn't Ole Miss take advantage of that? A Texas A&M, Texas, you know, maybe reinforces what it did this season. Georgia, like, there's just not a lot of margin for error within any of these programs. And college football to me is just going to be, as I guess it always is, but it's going to be a fascinating watch over the next couple of years to see, you know, can some of these programs, Oklahoma is another one I think to keep your eye on. Can Oklahoma make another step up here and get, you know, back in the thick of things? In the SEC. I'm not overly confident about that right now either.
Well, Jeff, you mentioned Scott Frost, and it's okay that you brought him up again, because if you didn't, I would have. Because I think that's exhibit A of where you got what seemed like the perfect match of the coach for the program and everything in place at the program itself. Now, Jimbo Fisher, what he had going for him was he was a national championship coach. I never looked at that Texas A&M match as a good one. I think that was just some alums from, you know, Texas A&M saying, gee, who could we get? We'll pay the top dollar. This guy won a national championship. You know, if we could have gotten Nick Saban, we would have. There's no way you get him. All right, let's get the next best thing, which is a guy who's won a national championship. But I feel like the coach is so important. And I'll use another example you had with Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, who came from Washington. It has been rumored for probably at least a decade Dabo Swinney would be next as the Alabama head coach. I think that there's a limit to, I think Dabo Swinney's time has come and gone. I gave Alabama credit at the time that they were bringing in a guy who would be the next Dabo Swinney, okay? At least that felt that way. Yep. And isn't it amazing how he seems to do everything right with recruiting, transfer portal, retention, support from the administration? And boy, one or two losses and the whole narrative changes. That's how close the margin is, Jeff.
It is. And again, I still think DeBoer is going to be it's going to be interesting to watch, but I do feel like Alabama is going to be right back in the thick of things here, starting next season. I just think, again, it's a little bit of a transition and getting your feet on the ground in a new situation. But if it doesn't happen next year, now you're 2 years out of the playoffs. It just does not take long for the narrative to start to change, not just within the fan base or within a program, but maybe more importantly within the recruiting world and, with the transfer portal world. And it's like, well, yeah, do I want to go to Alabama? No, I don't want to be part of a program that's almost in the playoffs. I want to go somewhere, which again, a couple of years ago, it's like, well, that's crazy talk. I think DeBoer is a great coach. And again, my guess is Alabama will be in the playoffs next year. But with any of these teams and any of these coaches and programs, there's just no guarantee. And it's, as you said, that margin for error is just so slight right now. And the other thing to watch, Jim, is I'm cautiously hopeful that we do get a more balanced schedule coming in place. I mean, it sounds like the SEC and the Big Ten are at least talking about trying to do a crossover game each year. I would like to get to a point where, we don't have one team that is playing zero top 25 teams and another that's playing three or four during the course of the season, or even more than that. I'd like to get, again, it's going to be very hard to get a truly balanced schedule like you have more so in the NFL with all of the teams and all of the disparities within the conferences, and especially with the size of the conferences now, you're going to luck out some years with the conference schedule. But if we can at least make some improvements and work toward some more competitive balance in the regular season schedules, I think that would at least help the overall picture and to me, the overall feeling around college football.
Well, the tough part about that scheduling also is, if you have 18 teams and a 9-team schedule,
yeah,
the disparity is going to be so great. And I remember, talking about this prior to the past season. If you look at the schedule, and just an easy way to compare is Texas and Oklahoma were both coming into the Southeast Conference same year. They're both from the same geographic location. However you set up the schedule, it was night and day. Oklahoma had a brutal schedule, and Texas, they could go through not beating anyone very good and would be 10-2. Yeah. And there is such a difference. I'm not sure you could fix that. Now, one of James Franklin's pet peeves is, and I believe it's legitimate, why is the Big Ten playing 9 conference games and the Southeast Conference only 8?
Yeah, it is. There's a number of things that are unfair, and some of it I think you can fix to some degree. That you certainly can. But one of the other things that's going to come into play here, Jim, is, there's several FCC schools that only have like 16 varsity programs. And, you have Ohio State, I think, has like 36 varsity programs. Well, no matter how you divvy that money up, there's an unfair advantage there. Now, that's always been there to some degree for the SEC schools. But, I think there may be Big Ten schools that start looking at, hey, we need to be on a more competitive balance in the big sports. And so, you know, some of these other sports may start going by the wayside.
And you do have the Big Ten with enough of a say at the table, as much as the Southeast Conference does. So you feel like their commissioner, their people will lobby for those things to make it more equitable between those two conferences. What you also have is, though, I think those two conferences in cahoots there also doing things for their advantage. And one of the things that's being talked about now is they want four automatic bids each. And Jeff, I think that's where you get into trouble making that automatic bids, because you don't know. One year the Big Ten might just plain be down, or the Southeast Conference. Why are those conferences being given four auto bids?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's healthy, and I hope that doesn't happen.
I'm with you on that, because to me, that's just as bad as the rule that had Boise State and Arizona State getting that first round bye when they didn't deserve it. I think the more you put in those stringent rules where this is what has to happen, that's when you get yourself in trouble. All right, Jeff, that's it for quarter number two. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three of our show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. Jeff, when we wrapped up, we were talking about both the Big Ten and Southeast Conference. They are now lobbying for four automatic bids. I think it's important also just to give a little background on the playoff system, how it works. They are on a two-year contract right now. They're through year one of it. To get any changes through for next year, they need to have unanimous backing, which I doubt they're going to get for changes, because as we pointed out, the Southeast Conference, the Big Ten, they're going to be in it for themselves, just like the other conferences will. But it also leads to this conversation that James Franklin, maybe he had the wrong forum when he was in the Final Four and the pre-Notre Dame game talking about the 8 versus 9 game schedule. And I think it was that same press conference that he brought up having a commissioner, where he brought up Nick Saban's name. But what I liked about that, the argument for it is, can you get somebody who is concerned about the good of the entire game? Whereas if you have a representative from the Big Ten, they're going to worry about the Big Ten. ACC commissioner is going to worry about the ACC, and that's it. There's nobody worried about the health of the entire game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves and what the discussions look like, because, Urban Meyer did that interview recently where he was talking about he just does not think there will be a commissioner's office type of setup because of exactly that. The Big Ten and the SEC don't want to relinquish power. They like being able to control things and getting advantages for their conferences and not having to look at the overall big picture, to the degree that you'd like to at least think a commissioner's office would do. That being said, again, to me, Jim, you can't just have the Big Ten and the SEC be the end-all be-all in college football or even college athletics. I just don't think that's healthy. So you need competitive And I don't think it's sustainable long term, unless, again, maybe you go let me back off of that for a second, because if they get together and they decide, yes, we are the two power conferences, we are basically the college version of the NFL, and we can just set this up with our two conferences. I mean, I guess maybe you can do that. You can go off and set up the mini NFL, if you will. But I think after a fairly short period of time, having Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia just keep meeting each other every year in the semifinals and the finals, I do think that eventually becomes a turnoff for the fans. And I think you do need that kind of sustained chance for success, at least across the board and with the different conferences. Now, whether you merge those conferences, and again, you know, there's been talk for what, 40, 50 years, Jim, that eventually college football is heading to a super conference. And I think that is, you know, one way or another, we're going to get back to more regional play, and it'll be divvied up, whether it's, you know, let's say the current SEC incorporates the ACC and the current Big Ten incorporates the Big 12, and you have those two conferences and they divide up east, west, southeast, southwest. You know, maybe that is how it all plays out. And I think that would be fine. I don't think you want just the current Big Ten and SEC teams, though, involved in having a real shot here at the championship. And I'm just, I guess I'm hoping against hope that enough athletic directors in the Big Ten and the SEC and the conference commissioners start looking and have enough vision down the road that, hey, yeah, we need to set this up so that we can have long-term sustained success for our college football programs and our college, you know, athletic departments as a whole.
I'd like to think that they wouldn't be able to get away with it. I could see some legal issues with it, monopoly issues. I can see Congress stepping in. Can't you? I mean, if somehow the ACC and Big 12 were somehow not allowed to be part of this, you could just see a congressman from the Carolinas stepping up and saying, hey, what about, you know, my schools? I just think, not that they don't have anything better to do in Congress, Jeff, but I could see them stepping in, doing something about that. Taking a look more at a little smaller picture, which is the 12-team playoff, and they are going to be talking about making tweaks. And I think we're going to more likely see changes in 26 rather than 25. Again, you know, the contractual obligations. But I'm going to fix college football. I'm going to do it by appointing Jeff Byers as the commissioner. So, Jeff, what I don't want to use the word fix the tournament, because I thought it was pretty good. But there are things that can be fixed on it. How would you make changes?
Well, let's start by, in all press boxes, there will be kegerators available for the press. And we are going to make sure there is a luxurious spread of food for the media. So that'll be step one.
Don't forget the ice cream.
Oh, the ice cream will certainly return and be available across the board. No, listen, I've advocated this since I was in high school, back in the mid-1980s. So I have always wanted a 16-team college football playoff. And I'm not sure I'm as adamant about this as I was for a long time, but honestly, my preference would still be that you would have I think we're still at 9 conferences now that have Division I football or FBS football. I would have all of those conference champions in the playoffs. Now, that's me. And I can certainly understand the argument against that. But my argument for it is this. If you're going to have, in what other sport, let me put it this way, in what other sport do you have teams at the start of the season, no, there is 0% chance. They could go undefeated, win every game by wide margins, 45-0 or better, and they have no chance of getting to the championship in their sport. There is no other sport where you're in a division, where you're in the league, the conference, or just the general sport, where it's like, yep, no matter what you do, you have no chance. That is the case right now in college football. So, either I would have some of those conferences, and I'm okay with this idea too. It's like, well, these aren't really big time, and so we have maybe some more going into what used to be, 1A and 1AA. Maybe you have a few of those leagues that, all right, let's go to 1AA because you're not really going all in and committing. That's okay too. But I would have all of the conference champions in the playoffs, whatever we decide is Division One, as we know it, FBS, whatever. All of the conference champions would be in. Now, I would seed it then on merit, like whatever we decide, all right, this is the best team, this is the best resume, and I would have 1-16. I would have those first round games at the sites. We would, by the way, do away with the conference championship games, and we would go right into the playoffs a week. We'd have the Army-Navy game still standing alone, so it'd be 2 weeks after the end of the regular season for most college football teams. We would have the start of the playoffs, and we would run straight through. We would have 1 week followed by the quarterfinals, followed by the semifinals, followed by the championship. We would have a committee similar to what we have now, get together and decide the at-large bids once we get past the conference champions. And we would not have – our games would be played on Saturdays. Saturdays and Saturday nights.
Jeff, this is why you were named commissioner. This very reason. I like the Jeff plan. Let me ask you this. Well, I like that you moved the season up a bit, that week zero. The Army-Navy game, I like it being special somehow, some way.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind if they did that at the start of the season, to put all the attention on it that it deserves. Yeah. I also like that, you play these games on Saturdays. I don't understand. Some of the talk is going from 12 teams to 14. Just go to 16. Okay. Why are you going to that 14 teams?
Especially, Jim, because I don't think, if there was a significant advantage to being one or two, I think maybe you could make the argument, all right, yep, you want those top two teams to get the buys. I don't think any of these teams, I think they want the home games. They want the opportunity to have the home game, the revenue, the excitement that goes with it. And I do think the layoffs at least played a role in the four top seeds losing this year, where offensively, I do think it's harder to keep your rhythm the more time you're off. So, I'm just not sure what the advantage is of having the 14 team format. I'm with you. I think if you're going to expand it, go right to 16. So you have the opportunity for those top eight seeds to have the home games. And I think just from a competitive fairness standpoint, having everybody that's still involved playing, a similar schedule, at least in terms of time off and keeping the routine, to me, that's really a no-brainer.
I'm with you. And by having it, I think playing these playoffs through late January, you lost the attention span of your followers, of your fans, who, yeah, of course, if you were Penn State, you knew when each game was coming up. But that week and a half in between, you sort of lost some of the momentum to it. I know much of what they did was trying not to conflict with the NFL, and I get that, but it feels like there should be some better ways to do that. All right, Jeff, we're not done with this conversation. We're going to pick it up when we come back after this break.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking about college football, the playoff system. And Jeff, the other thing, I thought you put together a great plan as the commissioner, okay, in our last segment, and the things that you would do. And you mentioned about getting the home games, and that would be an advantage for those higher seeded teams rather than a bye. I'm going to throw another crazy, crazy thought out there. What it also does, Jeff, is it rewards the fans. The people who have had season tickets, who are able to come into Columbus or South Bend or Austin or State College to watch a game, and it rewards them and it gives them a home game. And Jeff, oh, I almost forgot. You missed that home playoff game, didn't you, against SMU?
I did. It still kills me. But yes, I was not there.
But you, Jeff, I hate to rub salt in the wounds. It was a tremendous experience. It was wonderful. And I know going into that game, a lot of people were concerned because of the cold weather. What would the atmosphere be like? I'm here to tell you, it was fantastic. The tailgating was great. The buzz, everything in the stadium. And I know I watched it on TV, and the last thing in the world I ever want to do is give credit to Notre Dame and Ohio State fans. However, you could tell just from on TV what the atmosphere was like at those venues. I'm advocating, Jeff, especially if we implement your plan with 16 teams, how about having home games for the first two rounds instead of just one round? Because again, looking at it from a fan's perspective, if you put your team on the road that many weeks in a row, there's going to be travel fatigue and cost fatigue for the fans.
Yeah, I'm certainly open to that discussion, and I'm with you. I do think you make it really challenging for fans to try to travel to two, three venues, and especially if it's a team that isn't normally in the playoffs, right? You want to be there for the ride. And now you're trying to guess, all right, do I think my team could get to this next venue? Do I want to hold off and put my money into Atlanta? Do I think they can get that far? Or do I want to make sure I get to the semifinal game? And listen, you're going to have some of that no matter what. And obviously with the TV and streaming. Oh, that's another thing for now. If I was commissioner, everything is going on network television. We are not doing the streaming stuff. We're not like we are. ESPN can do it if it's putting it on ABC as well, but we're getting it out there to where anybody that wants to check it out can do so without having to pay, a ridiculously pretty penny. So that would be another change I would make. But yeah, I'm okay with the idea of having those home games continue on through the quarterfinal round. That actually would make sense to me.
And, you know, Jeff, I'll tie two complaints together. One was the mismatches or the games where the spread was so great in that first round. And also the thought that having a home field advantage is a great advantage. You know what? Good. If you earned that higher seed and you earned the home field advantage. That's why it's called home field advantage. I think it's appropriate. You earned it.
Yeah, and I think over time that, like, I know this year everything played out the way you would expect, but just like in the NFL, I mean, you're going to get home teams losing as we go down the, and that's fine too. But yeah, you want to be playing. To me, one of the things that, you know, there's still some people that are upset with the going to 12 teams, and I've read some pieces. It's like, well, you destroyed the regular season because the two biggest upsets in college football were rendered meaningless, meaning Northern Illinois' win over Notre Dame and Ohio State's loss to Michigan. And I don't look at it that way, but another argument for another day. But I do think you want – I think by having the home field advantage in play, it is giving incentive and more importance to those regular season games. It's not just that you're trying to get in the playoffs – it's that you want the home field advantage. You want to be one of the top eight or really one of the top four seeds, so you at least have the opportunity to host a couple of games. And, you know, you see that in throughout professional sports. It's like, yeah, we want to keep winning. We don't want to just get in the playoffs. There is value to having the home field advantage, both from a competitive standpoint, but also monetarily and financially. So, you know, it does add a little extra import to those late season games, even if you're already in, you're fighting because, yeah, we want to keep playing in front of our home fans. So I think it helps offset the, I think, inadequate argument that's out there that the regular season has been made less meaningful because of the expanded playoff system.
I read that same argument, Jeff, and no, I'm not going to put it off for another day, that discussion, because I hate that argument. And did you have any doubt that Ohio State and Notre Dame were the two best teams at the end of the day?
No, I mean, like, they both earned their way there.
Okay, that's a better way to put it.
Yes, and, you know, and that's the thing with the playoffs. That's why I love playoffs in any event or postseason in any sport. Is there? It's a different sense of urgency there, and you find out. You know, it's not just the most talented team. It's not just the best teams. It's the teams that can handle the most pressure. And you know, there's just no pressure like playoff pressure, whether you're talking about NFL playoffs, NHL, or college football playoffs. And again, you saw with Ohio State, man, they galvanized after the regular season loss to Michigan. Well, it's a different world once you get into the playoffs. And yeah, I don't know why you would want to take away the playoff experience for any sport. And to me, expanding it to 16, just that has always made sense to me. I think that's the right number for college football.
I know when they talked first about expanding the playoffs, I was an advocate for eight teams. When they came up with the 12-team plan and I started to look at it more, I was like, you know what? I do like this. And it was a little different perspective about with the top four teams getting that bye than the reality and how it turned out. Okay, I think we learned from it, but especially with the home field, 16 teams, I'm with you, that's the only thing that makes sense. And talking about this cheapening of the regular season, where you did have those upsets, well, you know what? Notre Dame, I think they proved themselves. I think Ohio State was the best team. I think you could argue, you know, hey, Penn State was in the same level as Notre Dame and maybe a few other teams were. But guess what? Notre Dame won those games. Yep. You want to argue Georgia? Guess what? Neutral field, Notre Dame beat them. Penn State fans might want to argue Penn State was still the better team. Guess what? You lost.
Yep.
You had the opportunity on the field and you lost. Notre Dame, and I'm choking on the words, Jeff, but they earned it, and they were very impressive, and they won multiple games against top teams to get to that point. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Ohio State literally had to beat four top 10 teams to win the national championship. If that's not earning it, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and it was just exciting. I mean, to see Penn State and SMU at Beaver Stadium, to see Penn State and Boise State out in the Fiesta Bowl, to get that Penn State-Notre Dame matchup, you know, in Ohio State-Tennessee, the Big Ten-SEC clash right out of the gate, like all of those matchups, right? It was just – it was fun to see. And, yes, I don't know why, if you're a sports fan – or a college football fan, why you wouldn't want more of that. Because that is, again, there's just nothing like postseason play for any sport. And the more of it you can get, now, is it possible to go too far? Yes. Again, 16 just seems like the right number to me. Get the first round and then into the quarterfinals. I think having four extra games, get rid of the conference championship games, that's completely doable, and I think it's I think it would be great for college football, and I think it's going to happen.
Well, also, Jeff, that conference championship game, I think you're right about that also. If you get rid of that, and I know the argument has always been, well, it's worth too much money to get rid of it, but you're adding four more playoff games by making it a 16-team tournament. Does that not financially make up for the loss of the conference championship games?
It would. It would more than offset. I think that it would more than offset the revenue generated from the conference championship games.
And, well, let's real quick, we got a minute left. I had some other notes. I was going to go some other directions, but I'll just ask you real quick. Was this a successful season for Penn State?
Yeah, to me, there's no question about it. I think they getting a couple of wins in the playoffs, being one of the final four teams standing, like that is a clear next step for Penn State. I mean, there's no way you can measure this and not say this wasn't the most successful season to date for James Franklin when you sit back and look at the overall picture. So, yes, I think very successful, and I think with everything that Penn State accomplished and with everything Penn State has coming back, they're now in place to go ahead and take that next big step forward and get to the national championship game. Not that there's a guarantee of that, but that is now clearly the next objective for the program.
And Jeff, I think that is clearly the expectation for next season. And I think it was the success that they had this year which prompted all these players to decide to come back. Yes, I understand NIL is part of it. I get it. But I think for these players, there's also, hey, unfinished business. They want to come back and take care of that. All right, Jeff, that is going to be it for our show. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you all for listening. And make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesdays, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.